George Whitefield, the famous British evangelist, was once speaking to a man about his soul. And he asked this question. He said, "Sir, what do you believe? What do you believe?" And the man responded, he said, "I believe what my church believes." So Whitefield then asked, "Well, what does your church believe?" And the man responded, "My church believes what I believe." And so Whitefield followed up and asked again, "Well, what do both you and your church believe?" And the man said, "We both believe the same thing." And he turned around and walked away. Case closed. It was obvious, I think, to Whitefield, it's obvious to us, that man didn't have a clue what he believed. Didn't have a clue. You know, I think there's many people that sit in churches every week or watch church on the internet every week, and they don't have a clue what they believe. Or at least they can't articulate. They can't tell you what they believe. What you believe is extremely important. What you believe, the doctrine that you hold to, is extremely important. In fact, your eternal destiny depends upon it. Now, with that in mind, I want you to take your Bibles and open up to 1 John chapter 2. You remember we are in a series which I've entitled Life Signs. Life Signs. You remember when John wrote this little letter, there were people in the church that claimed to be Christians. They claimed to be to be a part of God's church and be Christians. And yet they were false teachers and false prophets. And John wrote this little book. One of the reasons he wrote this little book was to help the people within the church, the Christians, to be able to distinguish between who was really a Christian, really saved, and who was not. Now, you remember the premise that we're looking at this series under. And it is this, that where there is spiritual life, there will be life signs. Life signs. You know, physical life. Ready? There's physical life signs. You're alive today. Physically, because you have a pulse and you have a heartbeat and you can move and you can communicate and there's life signs. But where there's spiritual life, we just talked about, we're now alive. Where there's spiritual life, there will be life signs. It'll show up in your spiritual life. You remember, we've taken a look at four life signs. You remember what they are? Yeah, you remember. The first life sign was, if you are alive in Christ, you will deal with sin. You will deal with sin in your life. You will acknowledge sin. You will confess sin. And you will, with God's help, be overcoming sin in your life. That's a spiritual life sign. That's a spiritual life sign. The second life sign that we took a look at is if you are alive in Jesus, you will walk in obedience. Do you remember what John said? By this, we know that we've come to know him. By the way, that's what it is to have eternal life, to know him. By this, we know that we've come to know him if we keep his commandments, if we keep his word. If we walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. Now, I'll tell you, we will never get to that level of obedience as Jesus walked. But you know what? If you're a Christian, your heart is to obey God and to please Him. If you don't want to please God and you don't care about obeying God, oh my, that's a bad sign. Because a life sign is you walk in obedience. The third life sign, you remember what it was? Those who are alive in Christ love the brethren. Love the brethren. Now, I'll tell you what. Does that mean we always agree? Does that mean we always get along and we're always, you know? Well, to dwell above with saints we love, to be our theme in glory. To dwell below with saints we know, that's quite a different story. Now, it doesn't mean we always see eye to eye. Doesn't mean we don't have times we disagree. But you know what? We love each other. By this, John says, we know that we have passed from death to life. See? That's what it means to be a Christian. Remember what Jesus said in John 5:24? Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my voice and believes on him who sent me has eternal life and shall not come into condemnation, but listen, but has passed from death unto life. That's what we, a Christian. By this, John says, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. By this will all men know you're my disciples, Jesus said. By the what? By how good you preach. By how good you teach. No. By how much you love one another. That's a life sign. Do you love Christians? Do you love your brothers and sisters enough to get in a small group? Love the brethren. Third. Last week we took a look at a fourth life sign. You remember what it was? Those who are alive in Christ overcome the world. Overcome the world. Whatsoever is born of God, John writes, overcome. Nike's the world, remember? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith. You see, we're not going with the flow of the world. Not if you're a Christian. You just don't go with the flow. We're not accepting the philosophies of the world and the teachings of the world and living like the world and talking like the world and walking like the world and smelling like the world. No, we're not going that way. We're overcoming the world with the truth of God's word. We don't take our cues from the world. We take our cues from the word. That's a life sign. If you're going the way of the world, that's not a good sign. We're constantly have the pressure of the world, right? It's trying to crowd out Christ and choke out God's word. But we overcome the world through Jesus Christ. Those are four life signs. And those first four life signs have to do with morals and with relationships. But the life sign we look at this morning has to deal with doctrine. Doctrine. What we believe. And here it is. One who is alive in Christ abides in the truth. Abides in the truth. Now, I want to read here chapter 2. Let's look at verses 18. Let me read 18 through 27. And by the way, in these verses, he's talking about these false teachers, and he gives characteristics of the false teachers and shows how important it is for us to abide in the truth. Listen to what he says. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared, and from this we know that it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they were not all of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. In these verses, again, he gives a picture of these false teachers, these fake Christians, and the characteristics of these false teachers. Three characteristics, and it helps us to see how important it is to abide in the truth. First of all, number one, they departed from the fellowship. Departed from the fellowship, verses 18 and 19. The setting, he says, children, it's the last hour. And just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it's the last hour. The King James Version says the last time. Folks, ever since the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we've been living in the last days. All of history from that time is just pointing forward to the day when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. These are the last days. But John says, listen, this is the last, and again, the King James says time, the word is hora, it's the last hour. In fact, he says, not it's the last hour, he says it's last hour. Last hour. In other words, he's not referring to the duration of time or the chronology of time. He is referring to the kind of time. What he's telling these Christians back in the end of the first century, we're in crisis days. We are in critical days. These are end age days. That's what he's saying. Critical time. How did he know it was, or how could he say that? He says, how we know that? You've heard Antichrist is coming. You've heard Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have appeared, and from this we know it is the last hour. You've heard Antichrist is coming. Do you know the word Antichrist? We hear about that all the time. You know, that word only appears here in John, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 4, and over in the second letter of John in verse 7. That's the only place that it occurs in the New Testament, Antichrist. But the concept of Antichrist is all through the New Testament. That there is one going to come, an Antichrist going to come. You remember what Antichrist means? Anti. It means two things. It means against, in opposition to. But it also means instead of, a substitute for. And folks, that's what an Antichrist is. Someone who comes against Christ. Someone who comes against Christ and who he is and the teachings of Christ. And someone who substitutes himself for Christ. And there is a man coming. There is one coming. He may be in the world today. Who is going to come before the second coming of Christ. He is the literal Antichrist. You can read about him in Revelation 13. Or you can turn to 2 Thessalonians and see what Paul says about him. He calls him the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition, the son of destruction. His activity is in accord with Satan. All kinds of false wonders, false miracles, signs and wonders filled with deception. And you've heard he's coming. But John says, listen, there's many in the world today that are antichrists. They have the spirit of antichrist. And these false teachers had the spirit of antichrist. And there was many of them. Many at the end of the first century. And he says, listen, this is a crisis time. Now let me just say something. I believe today we live in a crisis day. We live in a critical time period. We live in a period, if it was the end age days back then, we're 2,000 years closer to the coming of Jesus. And there's many false prophets. Listen to me. Many antichrists that are out. And they're all over with false doctrine. Online, you can just get online. There's all kinds of teaching out there. People's or Believer's Bible Commentary states, it's remarkable that the day in which we live is characterized by the existence of many Christ-denying cults. And these all bear witness or testimony to the fact that the coming of the Savior is near. Now, I don't know how near it is. He could come today. He could come today. One thing I do know, we're 2,000 years closer. John thought he was going to come during his lifetime. And I'll tell you what, the signs are multiplying. And we live in a crisis critical time as the church. And that tells us what? It is so necessary that we abide in the truth. The truth. Now, how did he discern that these people were false? Look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they were not all of us. Where'd these false teachers come from? What? From the church. From within the church. You know, you look at the major cults today and look at the founders of them, Charles Taz Russell and the Jehovah's Witness. He was in a church in the north side of Pittsburgh. And he went out of the church. Look at all the cult. They come out of the church. Paul said when he was with the Ephesian elders, as recorded in Acts chapter 20, what? When I leave, savage wolves are going to come in and try to devour the flock. And men will arise from within your midst and draw away many disciples to themselves. And that's exactly what it was happening. That's exactly what was happening. They went out from us. About five times in that verse it uses that us. Who is us? Didn't say he went out from you, from your church. He went out from us. I think this is important. John puts himself in that group. They went out from us. And what I think he means with that, they went out from the apostolic church and the teachings of the apostolic church, the fundamentals of the faith. They went out from the fellowship of the church. This is not talking about leaving a church or a denomination. It's not talking about that. Do you know, listen, leaving a church is very serious. It's very serious. But there are times when people should leave a church. There are times when you should leave a denomination. If that church that you are in, or denomination that you are in, denies the faith, denies the Bible, stops preaching the Bible, get out. Get out. You have to leave. But you see, these folk were not leaving because the word wasn't being preached. They were in opposition to this. They went out from us, he says. But they were never of us. Did you get that? That's so important. You see, they went out from us, but they were never Christians. They weren't saved. They didn't have the life. How do you know they didn't have the life? They went out from us. If they would have been of us, they would have what? Stayed with us, remained with us, continued with us. Now, this is, I think this is an answer to the I knew a man argument. Do you know what I'm talking about? With eternal security? Did you ever hear the I knew a man argument? Oh, I knew a man. He was in church all the time. He grew up in the church, and he was in the church all the time. He became a leader in the church, and he sang in the choir, and now he doesn't want anything to do with God. He doesn't want anything to do with Christ. In fact, he claims to be an atheist. You see, Pastor, he was saved and he lost his salvation. No. 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 It's not that he had salvation and lost his salvation. The fact that he went out and denies the faith shows that what? He never had salvation. Never had salvation. We know that they weren't of us because they departed, they went out from us. And if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But to show that they were really not saved, they went out. They went out. I'll tell you, this is important, folks. They went out from us. And Jesus, you remember what, you know, some people have a hard time. Do you know what Jesus said in Matthew 24? Those who endure to the end will be saved. And some people think, well, oh man, I gotta endure. I gotta keep on enduring. If I don't endure, I'll lose my salvation. No. The fact that you endure in the faith, the fact that you abide in the truth is an evidence that you are saved. It's like what the Reformers said. You know what the Reformers said? We believe in the perseverance of the saints and that the saints will persevere. That's important. You see, these folks, these false teachers, these fake Christians departed from the fellowship. And one who is alive in Christ abides in the truth and the fellowship of the church, which is the pillar and support of the truth. So they departed, but a true Christian abides in the truth and does not depart from the church and from the pillar and support of the truth. A second characteristic of these false teachers, not only did they depart from the fellowship, they denied the faith. They denied the faith. Now, who were these false teachers? This is to understand this, you've got to understand who these folk were. First of all, they were proto-Gnostics. Proto-Gnostics. Gnostic, the word Gnostic means knowledge. And what these false teachers claimed, they claimed to have a superior, esoteric, mystical knowledge that normal Christians didn't have. They had this, they were enlightened. And by this special knowledge, that's how they were saved. They also believed, listen, they accepted the Greek philosophy of dualism. Dualism. You know what dualism is? It's the belief that all material things or all matter is evil, and all spiritual is good. And they made that distinction. And you know, wrong belief leads to wrong behavior. Put that down. Wrong belief leads to wrong behavior. And it did with them. They believed all material was evil. The body, the material body, is evil. So they said, you know what? You can do whatever you want with the body. You can go out and engage in sexual immorality. You can go up to the temple of Aphrodite and engage the temple prostitutes. And your spirit can still be in fellowship with God. And remember what John said? God's light. And if you say you have fellowship with God and you walk in darkness, you what? You lie. And the truth's not in you. Some of these guys, these false teachers, said, we have an anointing. We have this anointing. And you know what? We don't even sin anymore. And what did John say to them? If anyone says he is without sin, he what? He deceives himself, and the truth's not in him. You see what he's doing with this? He is confronting these false teachers. And their wrong belief also led, you know what it led to? And this is serious. It led to wrong understanding of who Jesus Christ is. They had a false Christology because they said, God is good. God is good. He's spirit. And God could not come down and unite with sinful flesh. Sinful flesh. All flesh is sinful. So you know what they did? They denied the incarnation of Christ. They said, God couldn't come down and take on flesh because flesh is evil. And so they denied the incarnation. They denied that Christ came in the flesh. You can read about that over in chapter 4. We won't go there. But he says, this is the spirit of Antichrist. Anybody that says that Christ did not come in the flesh. See, isn't it interesting? That the first cults, didn't deny really the deity of Christ. They denied what? The humanity of Christ. And there was one sect called the Docetists, or the Docetic Gnostics. Comes from the word, Greek word dokeo, which means to seem or appear. You know what they taught? That Christ came down and he was God, but the body that he had was not a material body. It just seemed. It just appeared to be physical. But it really wasn't physical. Because that can't happen. You know, that's why John, you know what John starts off with in chapter 1? What does he start off with? We've seen this. We've heard him. We've touched him. We've handled him. He's real. The Bible teaches what? The Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. How about Colossians 2:9? In him, in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. You see, we believe in the incarnation. That in Christ, undiminished deity, united with perfect humanity in one person forever. They didn't believe that. They denied that. And they denied the gospel. Because they said, it's by what you know that you're saved. It's not by what you know, it's by who you know. You see what they were, what they were doing? Look what John says. Look how he confronts them. Verse 20, look at verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. See, they claim to have this special anointing. Guess what, folks? If you're a Christian, you're anointed. You've got an anointing. And some translations say, and you know all. We don't know all, but we all know. We all know. We have knowledge from God because we have the anointing. They claim to have the special anointing. John says all Christians have the anointing. They claim that they were the only ones that to know. True Christians, we have an anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we all know. Verse 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. As Christians, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the truth, and we have the truth of God's word. We have the truth of the gospel, and that brings discernment. I tell you, you want to discern error? What do you have to know? The truth. The truth. In fact, I just read something. I just got it on Friday from R.C. Sproul. It was a little article, and it said, and I didn't have a chance to check this out, but it said those words, the truth, it said 66 times in the New Testament, the truth refers to the gospel. We have the gospel truth. If you're alive in Christ, you've got the truth. You've got the gospel truth. And from the truth, we can discern error. Look at verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. The one who denies the Father and the Son. They were wrong about Jesus. And you know what? If you are wrong about Jesus, you are wrong about God. I just had two Mormons, and I probably shouldn't invite them in, but I did, in my living room a couple weeks ago. And I said, guys, I've just got to tell you something. We have some differences. We have some differences. Our God is different. What do you believe about Jesus? Oh, he was a creation of God. He's the Son of God, but he is a creation of God. I said, well, you know, we have a real problem here. Because you're wrong about the Son, and if you're wrong about the Son, you're wrong about the Father. You're wrong about God. So we talked about that. But this is the Antichrist, he says. If you're wrong about Jesus, you're wrong about God. Verse 23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. Has the Father also. There are two signs. You can put this down. Two signs of a cult. Now, there's several signs, more than that. But two signs I'll bring out. One, every cult has some kind of extra source of authority other than the Bible. Either the cult leader himself says he can speak Scripture, or they have an extra book like the Book of Mormon, or Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. They claim to have new revelation, which what? Trumps the old revelation. That's what these two Mormons told me. Well, we have new revelation. That's a cult. Secondly, all Christian cults have a messed up view of Jesus. They have a false Christology. Whether it's the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Christian Scientists, Theophacy, any of the cults have a false Christology. They're wrong about Jesus. And if you're wrong about Jesus, you're wrong about God. Now, look at verse 24 and 25, because here's our application to us. He says, as for you, now he's getting back to Christians, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. Listen, truth doesn't change. The gospel doesn't change. Let the word of God, which you heard from the beginning, abide in you. Christians, we need to know our Bibles. We need to know our Bibles. We need to let the truth of the gospel that you heard from the beginning abide in us. We don't need new revelation. All we need is the old time gospel. That's what we need. We need old time truths of God's word that never change. Never change. By the way, if it's new, it isn't true. And if it's old, it's been told. Amen. The one who is alive in Christ abides in the truth, remains in the truth, continues with the truth. And you know what the truth is? Look at verse 25. Here's the truth. This is the promise which he made, he himself made to us, eternal life. The truth of the gospel is, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh, who died in your place on the cross and rose from the dead, and you put your trust in him, what do we have, class? Eternal life. Life, life. We have eternal life. And you know what? That's the truth. We need to abide in that truth. You see, these false teachers, they departed from the fellowship and they denied the faith. And a third thing they did, you know what else they did? They tried to deceive the faithful. Do you see it down there in verse 26 and 27? They were engaging in deception. These things I've written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. King James Version, I like it there. It says, seduce you. Trying to seduce you. These false teachers were engaging in deception. They were trying to lead believers astray. You know, Warren Wiersbe in his commentary brings out an interesting observation. He says, you know, most cults don't try to go to unconverted people or people that are not religious and try to win them over to their faith. You know where they go? They go to the church. They go to church people. They go to church people. People that are in the church. And they try to deceive them. They try to deceive them. Van Balen, in his classic, it's called Chaos of the Cults, he says this, listen, the cults are the unpaid bills of the church. Did you hear that? Cults are unpaid bills of the church, meaning, I believe, that if we fail to teach the doctrines of the faith in the church, if we fail to preach the truth in the church, I'll tell you, it opens up Christians for deception. Do you see how important it is that we what? Abide in the truth. Preach the truth. Abide in the truth. Now look at verse 27. How can a Christian be insulated from deception? How can we be insulated? As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Do you hear that? Every Christian has the anointing. If you are alive in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives right in here. We have, listen, and I love this, we have the author of the Bible living inside of us. Have you ever read a book and there's something in the book you don't understand? You say, boy, I wish I could ask the author. I wish I could talk to the author about that. What did he mean by that? We have the author right with us. That means, you know what? You can read the Bible, and through the Holy Spirit, you can understand God's word. What does that mean? We should read God's word every day. We need the Word of God, and we have the author right there that if we don't understand, he says, ask. Call unto me and I will answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things you don't even know. Read the word, get in the word, abide in the truth. Now that means we don't need pastors. We don't need teachers in the church. No, God has given us teachers in the church to help us understand his word. Praise God for that. We have some of the best teachers in this church of any church. I mean that. But you know what? Caution. Always check it out. I don't care if it comes from this pulpit or if it comes from a Sunday school class or a small group and somebody says something, check it out. Check it out. Look at the Word of God. Does it square with the Word of God? And if it doesn't, then don't believe it. Be a Berean, right? We got to be Bereans. We've got to examine the Word. We've got to receive the Word with great eagerness. And I just love this church because you know what? Well, it's kind of scary because most of you listen when I preach. I remember one of my teachers saying, don't be worried about those that sleep in church. Be worried about those that stay awake. Thank you. But you know what? Check it out. Nobody has a corner on the truth. Nobody speaks ex cathedra. You know what? Check it out. Be brave. They receive the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And that was the Apostle Paul. We need to abide in the truth, receive the word, and abide in the word. And one who is alive will abide in the truth. They won't depart from the truth. They won't depart from the truth. Now, here they are. Somebody that's alive has life signs. They will deal with sin. They will walk in obedience. They will love the brethren. They will overcome the world. And they will abide in the truth. Life signs. Now I want to look at two things and we're done. I first want to look at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Let's look at Jesus. Did he have life? You know what? Jesus dealt with sin. Wait a second. He didn't have sin. That's right. He dealt with our sin. He didn't take sin lightly. He didn't blow off sin. He dealt with sin. He died for our sin. Secondly, he walked in obedience. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to what? Fulfill the law. And Father, I come to do your will, not my will, your will be done. I've come to do your work and to do your commandments. And he did. He walked in obedience. He loved the brethren. Love each other as I have loved you. And he loved them to the end, it says. To the end. Does he love us? He laid down his life for us. That's how much he loves us. So he loved the brethren. How about overcoming the world? You know, I say these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But be of good courage. I have overcome the world. He overcame the world. He didn't go with the flow. You know, Jesus didn't go with the flow, folks. He went the exact opposite of the flow. That's why the world hated him. He overcame the world. How about abiding in truth? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What did He tell Pilate? For this reason, I have come into the world. What was the reason He came into the world? What did He tell Pilate? I think I heard it. For this reason, I came into the world. To testify to the truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's the truth. Jesus abided in the truth. He was the truth. Do you see it? Do you see it? He dealt with sin. He walked in obedience. He loved the brothers. He overcame the world. He abided in the truth. In Him was, tell me, life. That's life signs. In Jesus is life. In Him was life. This is the, John writes, this is the testimony. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life. And that life is where? In His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Do you see it? He's life. If you've got Him, you've got life. Now, let's look at ourselves. I hate to do this because I like to keep my eyes on the Lord. But there is one verse in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:5, that says this: examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Test yourselves. Test yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves? Listen, that Christ is in you. Unless you fail the test. See, this is what it gets down to. You know, I really hesitated to preach this series. You know why? Because I don't want to get anybody doubting their salvation. If you're truly saved, I want this to be an assurance of your salvation. Because you know what? I believe in the security of the believer, the true believer. And I believe in the insecurity of the make-believer. And we're called to examine ourselves. Do you have life signs? Are you alive? Jesus is in you. What are we saying? He's going to come out. He's going to come out on the outside. If you have Christ, it will come out. He is life. He is spiritual life. He's eternal life. And when we have Him, there's going to be life signs. Do you know that you know that you know that you are saved? And I just want to say this. If there's any doubt, please. If there's any doubt, you take a look and say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm going to ask you to come this morning. We don't always have altar calls. I'm going to have an altar call. Maybe nobody will come. Maybe this altar will be filled. If you don't know, if you don't have assurance of your salvation, why don't you come and just nail it down? Do you have to come forward? You don't. But I'll tell you, it's good for us to say in front of the church, I believe in Jesus Christ. I have Christ and I put all my trust in Him and His finished work. I want to have life in Christ. So if you're unsure, you come. Or maybe you see some life signs and you say, man, Lord, my pulse is weak spiritually. My heart, it's beating, but it should beat with more love. Maybe you want to come just kneel down and just say, you know, Lord, please do a work in my life. Would you bow your heads now, please? Lord, God, every one of us probably could come and just say, sometimes my spiritual pulse is weak. Sometimes my heart is not beating with the love that it should for you or for others. Sometimes my walk is, I fall, Lord, and I'm not walking in obedience. But Lord, God, our heart right now is to do business with you. Lord, please, Holy Spirit, if there's anyone here that has any doubt, again, help them to nail it down today and just say, I'm going to make this my day where I publicly proclaim my faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, touch us, we pray. And Lord, may your life, you are life, Lord. You are the way, the truth, and the life. May your life shine through us in this old dark world, Lord, where people are dead and they need your life. Holy Spirit, would you do a work here this morning? We ask in Jesus' name, amen.